Chapter 8, A Spacer is Defied. Galadia seemed to be holding her breath for a moment. It came out through puckered lips in what was almost a whistle. She said, "I'm sure I don't see how. Do you know who did it?" Bailey nodded. "The same one who killed your husband." "Are you sure?" "Aren't you? Your husband's murder was the first in the history of Solaria. A month later, there is another murder. Could that be a coincidence? Two separate murderers striking within a month of each other on a crime-free world? Consider, too, that the second victim was investigating the first crime and therefore represented a violent danger to the original murderer." "Well," Galadia applied herself to her dessert and said between mouthfuls, "if you put it that way, I'm innocent." "How so, Galadia?" "Why, Elijah, I've never been near the Gruer estate, never in my whole life, so I certainly couldn't have poisoned Agent Gruer. And if I haven't, why, neither did I kill my husband." Then, as Bailey maintained a stern silence, her spirit seemed to fade and the corners of her small mouth drooped. "Don't you think so, Elijah?" "I can't be sure," said Bailey. "I told you I know the method used to poison Gruer. It's an ingenious one, and anyone on Solaria could have used it, whether they were on the Gruer estate or not, whether they were ever on the Gruer estate or not." Galadia clenched her hands into fists. "Are you saying I did it?" "I'm not saying that." "You're implying it." Her lips were thin with fury, and her high cheekbones were splotchy. "Is that all your interest in viewing me? To ask me sly questions? To trap me?" "Now, wait. You seem so sympathetic, so understanding. You Earthman?" Her contralto had become a tortured rasp with the last word. Daniel's perfect face leaned toward Galadia, and he said, "If you will pardon me, Mrs. Delmar, you are holding a knife rather tightly and may cut yourself. Please be careful." Galadia stared wildly at the short, blunt, and undoubtedly quite harmless knife she held in her hand. With a spasmodic movement, she raised it high. Bailey said, "You couldn't reach me, Galadia." She gasped. "Who'd want to reach you? Ugh!" She shuddered in exaggerated disgust and called out, "Break contact at once." The last must have been to a robot out of the line of sight, and Galadia and her end of the room were gone, and the original wall sprang back. Daniil said, "Am I correct in believing you now consider this woman guilty?" "No," said Bailey flatly. "Whoever did this needed a great deal more of certain characteristics than this poor girl has." "She has a temper." "What of that? Most people do. Remember, too, that she has been under a considerable strain for a considerable time. If I had been under a similar strain and someone had turned on me as she imagined I had turned on her, I might have done a great deal more than wave a foolish little knife." Daniil said, "I have not been able to deduce the technique of poisoning at a distance, as you say you have." Bailey found it pleasant to be able to say, "I know you haven't. You lack the capacity to decipher this particular puzzle." He said it with finality, and Daniil accepted the statement as calmly and as gravely as ever. Bailey said, "I have two jobs for you, Daniil." "And what are they, partner Elijah?" "First, get in touch with this Dr. Thule and find out Mrs. Delmar's condition at the time of the murder of her husband, how long she required treatment, and so on." "Do you want to determine something in particular?" "No, I'm just trying to accumulate data. It isn't easy on this world." "Secondly, find out who will be taking Gruer's place as head of security and arrange a viewing session for me first thing in the morning." "As for me," he said, without pleasure in his mind and with none in his voice, "I'm going to bed, and eventually, I hope, I'll sleep." Then, almost petulantly, "Do you suppose I could get a decent book film in this place?" Daniil said, "I would suggest that you summon the robot in charge of the library." Bailey felt only irritation at having to deal with the robot. He would much rather have browsed at will. "No," he said, "not a classic. Just an ordinary piece of fiction dealing with everyday life on contemporary Solaria. About half a dozen of them." The robot submitted. It would have to. But even as it manipulated the proper controls that plucked the requisite book films out of their niches and transferred them first to an exit slot and then to Bailey's hand, it rattled on in respectful tones about all the other categories in the library. "The master might like an adventure romance of the days of exploration," it suggested, "or an excellent view of chemistry, perhaps, with animated atom models, or a fantasy, or a galactography." The list was endless. Bailey waited grimly for his half dozen, said, "These will do," reached with his own hands, for a scanner, and walked away. When the robot followed and said, Will you require help with the adjustment, Master? Bailey turned and snapped, No, stay where you are. The robot bowed and stayed. Lying in bed with the headboard aglow, Bailey almost regretted his decision. The scanner was like no model he had ever used, and he began with no idea at all as to the method for threading the film. But he worked at it obstinately, and eventually, by taking apart and working it out bit by bit, he managed something. At least he could view the film, and if the focus left a bit to be desired, it was small payment for a moment's independence from the robots. In the next hour and a half, he had skipped and switched through four of the six films and was disappointed. He had had a theory. There was no better way, he had thought, to get an insight into Solarian ways of life and thought than to read their novels. He needed that insight if he were to conduct the investigation sensibly. But now he had to abandon his theories. He had viewed novels and had succeeded only in learning of people with ridiculous problems who behaved foolishly and reacted mysteriously. Why should a woman abandon her job on discovering her child had entered the same profession and refuse to explain her reasons until unbearable and ridiculous complications had resulted? Why should a doctor and an artist be humiliated at being assigned to one another, and what was so noble about the doctor's insistence on entering robotic research? He threaded the fifth novel into the scanner and adjusted it to his eyes. He was bone weary. So weary, in fact, that he never afterward recalled anything of the fifth novel, which he believed to be a suspense story, except for the opening, in which a new estate owner entered his mansion and looked through the past account films presented him by a respectful robot. Presumably, he fell asleep then, with the scanner on his head and all lights blazing. Presumably, a robot, entering respectfully, had gently removed the scanner and put out the lights. In any case, he slept and dreamed of Jesse. All was as it had been. He had never left Earth. They were ready to travel to the community kitchen, and then to see a subetheric show with friends. They would travel over the expressways and see people, and neither of them had a care in the world. He was happy. And Jessie was beautiful. She had lost weight somehow. Why should she be so slim and so beautiful? And one other thing was wrong. Somehow the sun shone down on them. He looked up, and there was only the vaulted base of the upper levels visible. Yet the sun shone down, blazing brightly on everything, and no one was afraid. Bailey woke up, disturbed. He let the robot serve breakfast and did not speak to Daniil. He said nothing, asked nothing, downed excellent coffee without tasting it. Why had he dreamed of the visible invisible sun? He could understand dreaming of Earth and of Jesse, but what had the sun to do with it? And why should the thought of it bother him anyway? Partner Elijah, said Daniil gently. What? Corwin Attlebich will be in viewing contact with you in half an hour. I have arranged that. Who the hell is Corwin Whatchamacallum? Asked Bailey sharply and refilled his coffee cup. He was Agent Grewer's chief aide, Partner Elijah, and is now acting head of security. Then get him now. The appointment, as I explained, is for half an hour from now. I don't care when it's for. Get him now. That's an order. I will make the attempt, Partner Elijah. He may not, however, agree to receive the call. Let's take the chance and get on with it, Daniil. The acting head of security accepted the call, and for the first time on Solaria, Bailey saw a spacer who looked like the usual earthly conception of one. Attlebich was tall, lean, and bronze. His eyes were a light brown, his chin large and hard. He looked faintly like Daniil, but whereas Daniil was idealized, almost godlike, Corwin Attlebich had lines of humanity in his face. Attlebich was shaving. The small abrasive pencil gave out its spray of fine particles that swept over cheek and chin, biting off the hair neatly and then disintegrating into impalpable dust. Bailey recognized the instrument through hearsay, but had never seen one used before. You the Earthman? Asked Attlebich, slurringly through barely cracked lips as the abrasive dust passed under his nose. Bailey said, I'm Elijah Bailey, plainclothesman C-7. I'm from Earth. You're early. Attlebich snapped his shaver shut and tossed it somewhere outside Bailey's range of vision. What's on your mind, Earthman? Bailey would not have enjoyed the other's tone of voice at the best of times. He burned now. He said, How is Agent Grewer? Attlebich said, He's still alive. He may stay alive. Bailey nodded. Your poisoners here on Solaria don't know dosages. Lack of experience. They gave Grewer too much and he threw it up. Half the dose would have killed him. Poisoners? There is no evidence for poison. Bailey stared. Jehoshaphat, what else do you think it is? A number of things. Much can go wrong with a person. He rubbed his face, looking for roughness with his fingertips. You would scarcely know the metabolic problems that arise past the age of 250. If that's the case, have you obtained competent medical advice? Dr. Thule's report... That did it. The anger that had been boiling inside Bailey since waking burst through. He cried at the top of his voice, I don't care about Dr. Thule. I said competent medical advice. Your doctors don't know anything, any more than your detectives would if you had any. You had to get a detective from Earth, get a doctor as well. The Solarian looked at him coolly. Are you telling me what to do? Yes, and without charge. Be my guest. Gruer was poisoned. I witnessed the process. He drank, retched, and yelled that his throat was burning. What do you call it when you consider that he was investigating... Bailey came to a sudden halt. Investigating what? Adelbish was unmoved. Bailey was uncomfortably aware of Daniil at his usual position some 10 feet away. Gruer had not wanted Daniil, as an Auroran, to know of the investigation. He said lamely, there were political implications. Adelbish crossed his arms and looked distant, bored, and faintly hostile. We have no politics on Solaria in the sense we hear of it on other worlds. Hannes Gruer has been a good citizen, but he is imaginative. It was he who, having heard some story about you, urged that we import you. He even agreed to accept an Auroran companion for you as a condition. I did not think it necessary. There is no mystery. Rakane Delmar was killed by his wife, and we shall find out how and why. Even if we do not, she will be genetically analyzed and the proper measures taken. As for Gruer, your fantasy concerning poisoning is of no importance. Bailey said incredulously, you seem to imply that I'm not needed here. I believe not. If you wish to return to Earth, you may do so. I may even say, we urge you to. Bailey was amazed at his own reaction. He cried, no, sir, I don't budge. We hired you, plainclothesman. We can discharge you. You will return to your home planet. No. You listen to me. I'd advise you to. You're a big-time spacer, and I'm an Earthman. But with all respect, with deepest and most humble apologies, you're scared. Withdraw that statement. Adelbish drew himself to his 6-foot-plus and stared down at the Earthman haughtily. You're scared as hell. You think you'll be next if you pursue this thing. You're giving in so they'll let you alone, so they'll leave you your miserable life. Bailey had no notion who the they might be, or if there were any they at all. He was striking out blindly at an arrogant spacer and enjoying the thud his phrases made as they hit against the other's self-control. You will leave, said Adelbish, pointing his finger in cold anger, within the hour. There'll be no diplomatic considerations about this, I assure you. Save your threats, spacer. Earth is nothing to you, I admit. But I'm not the only one here. May I introduce my partner, Daniil Olivaw? He's from Aurora. He doesn't talk much. He's not here to talk. I handle that department. But he listens awfully well. He doesn't miss a word. Let me put it straight, Adelbish. Bailey used the unadorned name with relish. Whatever monkey shines are going on here on Solaria, Aurora and 40-odd other outer worlds are interested. If you kick us off, the next deputation to visit Solaria will consist of warships. I'm from Earth, and I know how the system works. Hurt feelings mean warships by return trip. Adelbish transferred his regard to Daniil and seemed to be considering. His voice was gentler. There is nothing going on here that need concern anyone outside the planet. Gruer thought otherwise, and my partner heard him. This was no time to cavil at a lie. Daniil turned to look at Bailey, at the Earthman's last statement, but Bailey paid no attention. He drove on. I intend to pursue this investigation. Ordinarily, there's nothing I wouldn't do to get back on Earth. Even just dreaming about it gets me so restless I can't sit. If I owned this robot-infested palace I'm living in now, I'd give it with the robots thrown in and you and all your lousy world to boot for a ticket home. But I won't be ordered off by you. Not while there's a case to which I've been assigned that's still open. Try getting rid of me against my will, and you'll be looking down the throats of space-based artillery. What's more, from now on, this murder investigation is going to be run my way. I'm in charge. I see the people I want to see. I see them. I don't view them. I'm used to seeing, and that's the way it's going to be. I'll want the official approval of your office for all of that. This is impossible, unbearable. Daniil, you tell him. the humanoid's voice said dispassionately. As my partner has informed you, Agent Hattlebeach, we have been sent here to conduct a murder investigation. It is essential that we do so. We, of course, do not wish to disturb any of your customs, and perhaps actual seeing will be unnecessary, although it would be helpful if you were to give approval for such seeing as becomes necessary, as plainclothesman Bailey has requested. As to leaving the planet against our will, we feel that would be inadvisable, although we regret any feeling on your part or on the part of any Solarian that our remaining would be unpleasant. Bailey listened to the stilted sentence structure with a dour stretching of his lips that was not a smile. To one who knew Daniil as a robot, it was all an attempt to do a job without giving offense to any human, not to Bailey and not to Attlebeach. To one who thought Daniil was an Auroran, a native of the oldest and most powerful militarily of the Outer Worlds, it sounded like a series of subtly courteous threats. Attlebeach put the tips of his fingers to his forehead. I'll think about it. Not too long, said Bailey, because I have some visiting to do within the hour, and not by viewer. Done viewing. He signaled the robot to break contact. Then he stared with surprise and pleasure at the place where Attlebeach had been. None of this had been planned. It had all been impulse born of his dream and of Adelbish's unnecessary arrogance. But now that it had happened, he was glad. It was what he had wanted, really, to take control. He thought, anyway, that was telling the dirty spacer. He wished the entire population of Earth could have been here to watch. The man looked such a spacer, and that made it all the better, of course, all the better. Only, why this feeling of vehemence in the matter of seeing? Bailey scarcely understood that. He knew what he planned to do, and seeing, not viewing, was part of it. All right. Yet there had been the tight lift to his spirit when he spoke of seeing, as though he were ready to break down the walls of this mansion, even though it served no purpose. Why? There was something impelling him besides the case, something that had nothing to do with even the question of Earth's safety, but what? Oddly, he remembered his dream again, the sun shining down through all the opaque layers of the gigantic underground cities of Earth. Daniil said with thoughtfulness, as far as his voice could carry a recognizable emotion, I wonder, Partner Elijah, if this is entirely safe. Bluffing this character? It worked, and it wasn't really a bluff. I think it is important to Aurora to find out what's going on Solaria, and that Aurora knows it. Thank you, by the way, for not catching me out in a misstatement. It was the natural decision. To have borne you out did Agent Attlebeach a certain rather subtle harm. To have given you the lie would have done you a greater and more direct harm. Potentials countered, and the higher one won out, eh, Daniil? So it was, Partner Elijah. I understand that this process, in a less definable way, goes on within the human mind. I repeat, however, that this new proposal of yours is not safe. Which new proposal is this? I do not approve your notion of seeing people. By that I mean seeing as opposed to viewing. I understand you. I'm not asking for your approval. I have my instructions, Partner Elijah. What it was that Agent Hannes Gruer told you during my absence last night, I cannot know. That he did say something is obvious from the change in your attitude toward this problem. However, in the light of my instructions, I can guess. He must have warned you of the possibility of danger to other planets arising from the situation on Solaria. Slowly, Bailey reached for his pipe. He did that occasionally, and always there was the feeling of irritation when he found nothing and remembered he could not smoke. He said, There are only 20,000 Solarians. What danger can they represent? My masters on Aurora have for some time been uneasy about Solaria. I have not been told all the information at their disposal. And what little you have been told not to repeat to me. Is that it? Demanded Bailey. Daniil said, There is a great deal to find out before this matter can be discussed freely. Well, what are the Solarians doing? New weapons? Paid subversion? A campaign of individual assassination? What can 20,000 people do against hundreds of millions of spacers? Daniil remained silent. Bailey said, I intend to find out, you know. But not the way you have now proposed, Partner Elijah. I have been instructed most carefully to guard your safety. You would have to anyway, first law. Over and above that as well. In conflict between your safety and that of another, I must guard yours. Of course, I understand that. If anything happens to me, there is no further way in which you can remain on Solaria without complications that Aurora is not yet ready to face. As long as I'm alive, I'm here at Solaria's original request, and so we can throw our weight around, if necessary, and make them keep us. If I'm dead, the whole situation has changed. Your orders are, then, to keep Bailey alive. Am I right, Daniil? Daniil said, I cannot presume to interpret the reasoning behind my orders. Bailey said, all right, don't worry. The open space won't kill me if I do find it necessary to see anyone. I'll survive. I may even get used to it. It is not the matter of open space alone, Partner Elijah, said Daniil. It is the matter of seeing Solarians. I do not approve of it. You mean the spacers won't like it? Too bad if they don't. Let them wear nose filters and gloves. Let them spray the air. And if it offends their nice morals to see me in the flesh, let them wince and blush. But I intend to see them. I consider it necessary to do so, and I will do so. But I cannot allow you to. You can't allow me? Surely you see why, Partner Elijah. I do not. Consider then that Agent Gruer, the key Solarian figure in the investigation of this murder, has been poisoned. Does it not follow that if I permit you to proceed in your plan for exposing yourself indiscriminately in actual person, the next victim will necessarily be you yourself? How then can I possibly permit you to leave the safety of this mansion? How will you stop me, Daniil? By force, if necessary, Partner Elijah, said Daniil calmly, even if I must hurt you. If I do not do so, you will surely die.